How big actually was this trade? I mean, where do you rank it in the history of trades in the league?
Wow, that's sort of an overarching question. That's a little too broad to say in all of NBA history, but this is a pretty big deal. And what's nice for the Cavaliers is that they get some future assets. This is a team that could very well lose LeBron James after a year. And Kyrie Irving was demanding a trade, and even if he wasn't, he has one more year after LeBron, but probably gone too. Now you get Isaiah Thomas, who is equivalent, maybe not the same, maybe not as good, depends on your point of view, but one of the best scoring guards at the point in the entire league. And then they also get Jay Crowder, who's a really nice player, a guy who can help them against the Warriors in the finals. I don't know if he's the reason why they win. And then you get the Brooklyn Nets pick. I mean, that's a nice pick. That could be a top, I don't know, five, top six, maybe number one pick in a really nice draft next year. And the kid Zizic, a big kid, a center could help them, you know, down the road, prospect, but nice there. But for the Celtics, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a guy they were going to have to pay after this season. And he's, you know, 28-ish. He's very small, right? He's 5'9", dealing with a hip issue. Maybe they weren't comfortable giving him a max contract and going with a guy who's about 4 or so, 5 years younger and Kyrie Irving. They were willing to give up those assets to make that happen. I like it for both teams. I think the it's a little bit more of a reach in the sense of the Celtics gave up a little bit more, but I thought both teams did what they needed to do, and I would grade both teams as winners here.
See, that's where I can't get on board with you, with all due respect, just because how can both teams win a trade when they're 1-2 in the East, competing basically against each other for a trip to the NBA Finals this year? If one team got more better than the other team, I know more better isn't the most proper form of English.
More better.
But you can't have both teams be winners here, can you?
Sure you can. I mean, this is a now situation for the Cavs. After now, meaning this year, I do think LeBron leaves. And so now you have pieces that you can build around. So let's say you get Michael Porter Jr., one of the top prospects. And now it's a win now for the Cavs because they've got pieces to rebuild and they're moving forward, and they can maybe Jay Crowder, someone they could retrade and maybe get some young considerations as well. So it's a trade that helps now and later. For the Celtics, it's about now, but now for them is a longer now. Okay. So the now for them is like a 5-6 year window where they, let's say Kyrie Irving resigns. He's got another year after next. So 2 years he resigns. They've got the Cavs are no longer the Cavs anymore because LeBron's gone, and they've got Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, young players, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They've got a nice core of both young guys and veterans. And so maybe the Celtics are number two this year. Maybe it doesn't result in 100% perfect for them for today. But when the Cavs are gone, they're the team that is best in the East.
So you would agree with me in saying that Boston, by doing this trade, made it more difficult for them to win the East this year than if they didn't do the trade?
I would say that you can argue that, but then it does open up some time for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Maybe they're ready to fill that Jay Crowder role. Maybe they're better than it's not so black and white where you say absolutely, but you can definitely argue. It depends on also, what do you think of Kyrie Irving in relation to Isaiah Thomas? Is Kyrie better? If you think he's better, then they got the best player in the deal, and you can argue it. I would say that, yeah, the Cavs are my favorite to get out of the East again. The Celtics are number two after this year. I think Celtics are number one, and I think that's a price you're willing to pay if you're Danny Ainge.
Eric Pincus joining us from Basketball Insiders. We're talking about the big Cavs-Celtics trade from yesterday. My question is, do you think Ainge and the Celtics rate Irving better than the Cavaliers do and maybe other teams in the league do?
I mean, it's situational, right? So you look at what Kyrie Irving is, but he's, for whatever reason, miserable and doesn't want to be in Cleveland. So the value of what he is as a player in Cleveland, miserable, is not what the value of what Kyrie Irving brings to the court anywhere else where he's not miserable. So, and then in the case of Isaiah Thomas, there's the hip injury. They know more about it than I do. It's not going to scuttle the trade. But it's hard to say how long term, what can you do with a 5'9" point guard? Maybe last year was the best that they could possibly have done. And in the case of, you know, the Cavaliers, maybe that's a limit too. But when you've got LeBron James, you're more likely to get away with something like that. Maybe the Celtics, they'd reach their potential. So it's not flat out black and white because it's situational to each team. I like Kyrie Irving a little bit better myself as a player, and he's younger, so you get more years out of him.
All right, as we kind of step back and look at Boston here, and then my one criticism for them would be their offseason as a whole. Now, clearly Jimmy Butler was available for a trade, so was Paul George. While focusing on Butler, because he, just like Kyrie, had 2 years left on his deal, and Boston, for whatever reason, could not execute or did not want to execute that trade. I contend that a better offseason for them would have been finding a way to get Jimmy Butler. They've signed Gordon Hayward, and drafting Markelle Fultz. That way you have your guard of the future if you need that. Jimmy Butler, Isaiah Thomas, and Gordon Hayward give you a better chance to win the title this year. So I think if they had to redo their offseason, they probably should have attacked it differently than the way they did.
You can argue it. I mean, you can argue that Kyrie Irving is the best player out of all that. You could argue Jimmy Butler because he's a better defender, is a bit more of a two-way player. He is older than Kyrie. It's certainly an argument you can make. But I will say also, because I spoke to some of the people involved around after the trade deadline, and the basic vibe I got from the Celtics side of things is that while they viewed their pick that they were getting via swap with the Nets as the number one pick, which is what it ended up being, that the teams they spoke to were risk averse and were thinking that maybe it was going to be the fourth pick or maybe it was going to be the third pick. And they weren't sure that it was going to, it wasn't tangible. And it was harder to make a deal when there wasn't that concrete, you have the number one pick. And so of course, when they made a deal, they ended up swapping first and third with the Sixers. That's a lot easier to do when you know what the pick is. And so I agree that there were opportunities along the way, but at the same time, they got Gordon Hayward, and some of that flexibility goes away. And so maybe you don't get Gordon Hayward if you make that trade earlier. So it's more of you have Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Maybe you could have gotten, say, Jimmy Butler, and now you're still with Isaiah Thomas. And then now next year you have to pay Isaiah Thomas at least $100, $150 million. And maybe that long-term isn't the right move. So I'm not disagreeing entirely, but equally, I think it's more complex than that.
Eric, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. And certainly a lot of food for thought with the big names going back and forth between Cleveland and Boston. You almost never see trades amongst teams battling for the conference title.
Yeah, it's been a fun summer. I look forward to this. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And that's Eric Pincus of Basketball Insiders.